Well, I'm going to continue. I think it's, I believe God is still stirring my heart here in this area of speaking and faith and speaking and believing and speaking, how we're saying it. You know, we've been sharing a few lessons on this. And, you know, it's something that when I reflect, I can go back even as a brand new Christian when I was attending, starting in 1978, I started attending Wyckoff Assembly of God, and that was under the pastorship of John Lipscomb, who's now in heaven. He led me to the Lord. I was a mess. And I went there visiting, and the first thing he said, I went up, you know, just to be gracious, I went up and I said, you know, wanted to greet him and say hello. And he didn't even say hello. He just looked at me. It was John Lipscomb. He was funny. But he looked at me, he didn't say thank you, hello, you know, wonderful day, nice to meet you. He said, are you saved? That's exactly what he did. He said, do you know Jesus? Are you saved? And I said, no. And he said, would you like to? And I said, yes. Just that simple. And I did. And I received Jesus. And my life has never been the same. And so, you know, I think we need to, in the same way, you know, when you're led to, and, you know, when people greet you and say hello, you know, find a way to ask that. Do you know Jesus? And So it's that time. I think you'd be surprised how many people are looking for an answer. They know they don't have the answer. And, you know, so often, you know, in this county that we live in, this is just information so you know, but in Rockland County in New York, this county, 35% of the population is Hasidim Jewish. 35%, that was the last census. And a lot of the Jewish, because it's just, you know, they're just running out of space, even in Brooklyn and New York City. And they're coming up into this county and just wanting to buy everything up. And so it is an opportunity for us not to have an attitude, but it's an opportunity to reach a group of people that don't know Jesus. And so I just share those things because, you know, a lot of times you can look at it and have some thoughts, but it's to have the mind of Christ. He died for them just like everybody else. Now, they may not want to listen to you or have anything to you to have anything to, for you to say, but you would be surprised how many will engage you in a conversation. And it's about relationships. It's about establishing a relationship. You know, Pastor Enrique was telling me he's very friendly with a Hasidim Rebbe right down where he lives. Very friendly. And so it's about relationships and establishing those relationships and saying hello and embracing them and listening. Let them ask questions. You know, I remember just across the street, there's a health food place, and, you know, periodically I will go over there and get some fresh juiced vegetables and things. And I remember, I don't know, it was 3 or 4 years ago, I'm standing there and there's this Hasidim. He's got all the, you know, the paraphernalia. I know who it is. And he looked at me and he said, hello, God bless you. And I just said, shalom. And he said, and we just began to talk. He was there getting a fresh juice. very congenial. It surprised me. And then he said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a pastor. And sometimes that might trigger something, but he said, oh, okay. And from that day forward, whenever I bump into him, he remembers me and he said, hello, pastor. And I thought, interesting. So it's about relationships with people. And you never know the seed that you're planting. I'm not saying go beat somebody with the Bible. I'm saying just have a relationship with somebody, engage in a conversation, talk with them normal. Normal. Be normal. Holy Ghost normal. Right? Yeah. And just talk, you know, share something if you're led to, and just engage in a conversation with people, and you'll find out where they are and what makes them tick. So I, you know, just share that because there's a lot of activity going on in this county, and we need to be aware of that. And it's a great opportunity. Begin to pray for them. You know, we had, I know when Elder Bill was on this earth, you know, he was interacting, you know, we kind of gave that off to him, but we had, when Pastor Sarah was on the radio, The Choice is Yours, we had a Jewish person, he was Hasidim, young. And he called and he said, I know you have the truth. And then he called the ministry and wanted to talk with someone. But he didn't want to be seen because he didn't want to create a problem in his own community. And he started coming and meeting with Elder Bill and talking. And he said, can I have a New Testament? But I wanted in, you know, I want a Bible in Hebrew. And I want it in Hebrew, so I don't want it in English so that it raises some suspicion. So he wanted it in Hebrew so that if he carried it or brought it, it wouldn't draw suspicion. So be wise, you know, with those kind of things. Find out about their culture, so that you can find an avenue to share the good news of the gospel. So he came and came for a while, and you know, and so it was seed planted. And my thought was, if there's one, there are many more that are searching in that community for the truth. It's the same as people who are Muslim. There's hundreds and thousands that are searching for the truth because they know in Islam they don't have it. So it's, you know, so anyways, so we're sharing these truths about believing in your heart and speaking what you believe. And faith has to be. Faith is an action. Faith is not a noun. Faith is a verb. Faith is an action. And so the first action, you could say, of faith is speaking what you believe. So what you believe must be expressed. And most times, if you're around people long enough, they will express what they believe. They'll tell you what they believe. And so the same thing, if you get enough of God's word down in you, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's the rhema, not the logos. So that will come. But once faith is there, and we've been landing on this, faith is what? A confidence. Faith is a substance. Faith now, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is spiritual. It's spiritual because where? Faith is in the heart. So something in your heart, in your spirit, is not natural. It's spiritual. God's word is spiritual. So faith, this substance that we talk about, is spiritual. And this faith comes, and it does what? This faith is a persuasion. I'm persuaded of something. And when I'm persuaded of something, I express it, I speak it. And so this faith gives support or gives substance or is a foundation or the foundation to something that you expect. Well, where did faith come from? Faith came from the rhema, word of God. What is the word of God? The word of God is what? The will of God. So we go to the word of God to find out what he said, I'll do that. Just like when the centurion came and he said, Lord, you know, if you just speak the word, my servant will be healed. He said, okay. And he came just like the woman with the issue of blood. They heard of Jesus. Just like the centurion came. He had to have heard something that caused him to do what? Expect. So he was coming in faith. And his faith was expressed with an expectation, wasn't it? He said, if you just speak the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus said to them around, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Well, you can link that together and say that he had great faith because he had a great expectation. His expectation was great. He said, you just speak the word and my servant will be healed. So he had to have come with what? Great faith. And a woman with the issue of blood. She heard of Jesus. And it said she came in the press behind and said, if I touch, just touch, and this, most translations say, she kept saying, the Amplified, she kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And what happened? What we've been sharing, it was voice activated. She activated the power of God. And the disciples, he said, something, who touched me? And the disciples said, what, Master, everybody's touching you. Everybody is pressed in around you. How many were at Israel? We went through the, when we went to Israel, one of the trips we went, it kind of reminded me of that story. We went through the old city, through the markets, and literally, it was like New Year's Eve Times Square. I'm serious. It was like everybody was pushed in. You could hardly breathe. Everybody, you were just flowing with the traffic, so to speak. Everybody was pressed in. You were holding on to your stuff, your pants and everything, right? You're holding on to, because you were pressed on every side. Kind of reminded me of that story. Jesus was pressed on every side and no power left him. But one. And what activated that power to be released? Her faith. And her faith was expressed by what she said. She kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. She didn't know how. She just said, if I touch him. Now, she must have heard, this is what I'm saying, she must have heard that everybody that came and touched him or he touched them were healed. So it wasn't like she just got up and decided, if I just touch him. She must have heard that if you touch him, you'll be healed. Power flows out of him. So she came what? Expecting to receive. And that's why a lot of times when we come to church, it shouldn't be out of, oh, it's wonderful. We see everybody. We embrace one another. We have fellowship. But we should come expecting to hear something. Something to feed my faith. Something to stir me to what? Move my mouth. You know, when I'm for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, I've made this decision. It's actually a little longer. But when I go to meetings, I go expecting to get something, to draw upon heaven. I do. And I never leave disappointed. Never. I may hear something, go, wow. I never saw that before. I could have heard it 100 times. And it was something in the word that just I heard. I've heard it for the first time. Or like I heard it for the first time. But I'm coming expecting to receive something. And that's what I'm talking about. When we come expecting, God is now what? He's responsible to reveal to you what you need. Because all of us are different. We're all at various levels, and he knows what you need to do what? He says he watches over you. He's the what? The author and finisher of your what? Faith. So you should be coming what? In faith. Coming to church, I'm expecting it. And even if you can't come to church, you come and watch. If you're watching online, you come expecting to hear something. You know, I share this. It was about three years ago. And it was, we had been going back and forth to the village cleaning. It was fall time. And, you know, then there was just from about November or December through January and February, it was just my stomach, this area here was just, it was rough. And I'm speaking the word. And I remember, this is me now, on Monday nights, I watch Reverend Jim Hockaday and Leanne Sozeby. I watch them on Prayer School Live. They stream that. And so I remember this was in, I was like end of February. Reverend Jim said, I just sensed the healing power of God. Reach out and receive it. Man, I lifted up my hand. I'm sitting on my couch at home and I said, I receive it. And whew, man, the power of God hit me sitting on my couch. But when I come and watch that, I come expecting. I wasn't expecting, I'm not saying I wasn't expecting. I wasn't, it wasn't the way I thought it would come. But it came that way. So when we release faith, you need to have patience sometimes with some things, and God will come as he comes. But you need to be expecting it. And I mean, without a week, about a week, it was all gone. All gone. Period. So, you know, again, all of us, you know, things can come, things can happen in our lives that we didn't create. Or maybe we did, I don't know, maybe. But God is the healer. But you've got to come what? Expecting. First, the key is keep feeding on healing scriptures. Keep the word of God playing when you have spaces of time and time. Keep it playing, not just in the area of healing. Keep it playing, period. And it will do what? It will stir you to expect something. Hallelujah. Because 2 Corinthians, I don't know why I'm getting off on this morning, but it's just stirring in me. You've got to speak what you believe. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, this is from the Psalms, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. This word faith in this verse 13, this word faith is the word pistis, it means P-I-S-T-I-S, it means persuasion. So what is this saying? It says, we having the same spirit of persuasion, how did that persuasion come? Hearing and hearing the word of God. But when you have a spirit of persuasion, you do, what does it say you do? Speak. Speaking activates what it is that you're believing, what you're persuaded of. It activates it. Think about it. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. So when I release it, it's releasing what? The power of God. And the power of God goes into action. You're activating the power of God. You're activating God. You're activating him and his nature in your circumstance. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Hebrews 11:1 again. Let's remind ourselves of these, because it's the same. Hebrews 11:1 in the King James, it says, now faith. This is the same word again, pistis. It's the same Greek word. It means to be persuaded, a moral conviction. So faith, persuasion, is the substance of what? Things expected. It's the evidence, your persuasion, and it being expressed is the evidence of something you don't see. That's why Brother Hagin, when he was alive, I love reading his stories. He would say, I would teach for 2, 3, 4 weeks so that faith would get into the hearts of the listener. And he said, towards the end of those times, people would say, they would just come to the meeting. They wouldn't even wait for him to say, does anybody need healing? They would just jump up and say, lay hands on me. I'm coming. I'm going to get healed. Why? Because they were persuaded, just like the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't wait for Jesus. She came and said, I'm touching him, and I'm going to get what he's got. Same with the centurion. Jesus didn't wait. He didn't wait. He just said he came expecting to get something from him. And that's why when we see people, I've seen this with ministers, they'll ask for those that want to be healed, and people are hesitant. Well, if you're persuaded of something, you're not hesitant. I'm come to get it. It's mine. I'm taking it right now. I'm taking it. You know, I read this account recently. You know, I read these over and over because they bless me. But Brother Hagin was talking of an account where this person had a tumor or a growth on the person's neck. He said it was the size of his head. And it was a big growth. And he said this person had hands laid on him by all different people in ministry at that time. He went here to have hands laid on him, here to have hands laid on him, here to have had hands laid on him. And he said, no change. And he said, one day, he said the people in the church began to notice that the growth was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And then he said, over about 6 or 8 months, it just wasn't there. And it was the size of his head. It was that big. And the doctor said to him that if we just leave it alone, you'll live longer. So we're not going to operate. So they inquired of this person, what happened? And he said, well, I was reading my Bible and I read in Philippians 2:13 where it said, it is God who is at work in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I began to look in the mirror and say, God's working in this. God's working in this both to will and to do his good pleasure. And he began to say that every day, multiple times, kept saying it. And it began to shrink and get smaller and smaller. Why? Because it was God at work. He activated the power of God by his own words. And God began to work in that. And that's exciting. So how many things in your life need to be what? Changed. How many things in your life? You know, God can multitask. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He doesn't say, oh, I can only work on that one little thing, and when that's done, then come to me with the next thing. No. If your faith is big enough to work and be released on 2, 3, 4 things, do it. And begin to release your faith and begin to say, God's at work in this, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's good. Find out what his will is. Find out what his good pleasure is and say, he's doing it. He's doing that in me, in my children, in my home. He's doing it. He's working in my finances. He's doing it. and watch what he does. You will have what you say. Because faith believed, or what you believe, must be what? Spoken. Hallelujah. So we don't want to become what is Mark 11, 23? We don't want to become what? Disconnected from what we say that we believe. If we say we believe something and we doubt not, this is Mark 11, 23, then we will what? We will have what we say. But if we become disconnected, what does that mean? I say something different than what I believe and say. If I say something different, then I'm going to have what I say, not what I said I believed. I'll say that again. You're going to have what you say, not what you believed and said, because now you're saying something different. So you've become what? Disconnected from what you're saying, because that's what it says. It says, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and this is what we were saying before, what is that mountain that you're facing? What is a mountain? A mountain is something that looks immovable, like it can't change. A mountain is something that's, you know, it's a force, it's something that looks like you can't move that. But nothing is impossible to you who believe. And Jesus said, if you will speak to it and command it to move and say it and believe that the things that you say and doubt not and believe the things that you say will come to pass, you will have what you say. And the Lord was reminding me during worship this morning, the Holy Spirit was saying, so a lot of times people, you know, they think that, well, so-and-so said something. You are going to have what you say, not what the doctor says. The doctor can say whatever they're going to say. But you are going to have ultimately what you say and believe. Because how many times has this happened? Say amen if it's so. No, but let me get what I'm saying here. How many times have you, or you know of someone who has released faith, and the doctors come back and go, wow. Well, I guess they didn't have what they said. They're just giving you some information. But you've got the truth of God's word, and his truth is being watched over by God to bring it to pass. He's what? He's the beginning, and he's the end. He has the keys of hell and death. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. So I'm not saying that what individuals may say isn't something that's going on, but they don't have the final say. You could have two nickels to rub together, and it may be so, but I believe God. You may have a diagnosis that maybe is maybe make you wobble. But always remember, you speak what you say, and what you believe and say will create and change what you see. It will change it. You just need some patience, and you need to keep your faith and your words right. Death, remember, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of whose tongue? So that's why don't get moved by people in around you, you know, saying all kinds of stuff, because death and life, this is why the devil is fighting to shut down the voice of the church. Because he knows that if the church is unified and it speaks as the body of Christ, he has no chance. He has no chance. All he has is to deceive people, saint or sinner. And he blinds the minds of those who are lost. And he also will blind the minds of people who may know Jesus. That's why it's important that we have one voice, we have the mind of Christ, and we do what? We speak it. We release those words. Amen. Glory to God. So don't become disconnected from your speech. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4, this is the King James version of Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, do what? Attend to my words. Incline your ears. Well, it's these ears, but it's also your inner heart, your inner ear. Incline your ear unto his sayings. Let them what? Not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are what? Life and health to what? All your flesh. So that's why your whole body will respond to something spiritual. It'll respond to spoken words. It'll respond to faith. Hallelujah. Definitely will. So we saw some of these accounts over the past few lessons, the centurion's great faith, and he had great expectation. And, you know, think about this. You know, Jesus used these terms. It's sometimes people get they pause or they try to understand what things are that Jesus said. You know, he said little faith, no faith, great faith. Well, he quantified it for us. So there must be something, there must be some truth there to that. Maybe we don't grasp it fully, but yes, we exercise faith. But let's say it another way. Your faith needs to be what? Developed. It's developing your faith. We're not getting some additional faith. You got a measure of faith, but you got that measure of faith when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. And then it now needs to be what? Developed. So what does that mean? You need to keep feeding and growing. So that's why when he said great faith, that means somebody's faith got what? Developed. And when he talked about somebody who had no faith, or little faith, they didn't develop it. So we need to keep feeding, keep speaking, keep decreeing. That's why I took just taking the time to read that prophecy, and I didn't get time to put it out, but I am going to put that out in the lobby, so you can read it and see it. And then, of course, I shared for those that were here, and just a reminder for those that weren't here, you can go back and see that. It's on our website. It's under Kevin and Ann Durant, and you can see that. It was Ann Durant teaching a message called Hear from God, I think. And they shared, which, you know, she was sharing a word to Pastor Greg and I at the time and said, it's okay to believe for double the wisdom. It's okay. And the reason that she said, the reason we're sharing this is to not only let you know it's okay, but to let the people know that it's okay, and it's okay for them to believe for double. That was the reason I shared it. Not for my benefit, but for your benefit. So that God is saying, it's okay to believe for double. It's okay to believe for double the wisdom, double the knowledge, double the anointing. It's okay to believe for double. Well, what does one do that believes, speaks? So you begin to start saying, I believe, I've received double, and I'm walking in double the wisdom. I'm walking in double the knowledge. I'm walking in double the anointing. God wants to bring those that hear to another place of understanding, that the eyes of our spiritual eyes are enlightened to what? Double. The eyes of my understanding are enlightened so that I may what? Know the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us. And what is the exceeding what? Greatness of his power to us who believe. So I have sense enough. If God spoke and said, it's okay, and it's okay for the people, he's what? Authorizing it. And he's standing there saying, I'll do that if you believe it and speak it. And he will begin to work in your life, and you'll walk in a level of wisdom, and you will walk in a level of seeing that you haven't seen before. And you'll start walking going, and other people will go, how'd you know that? I just see it. I know it. And you begin to see in the Word of God. You begin to see how to navigate life. You begin to see how to make the right decisions in life. Why? Because you have double. You're beginning to see. And you're confessing it and saying, I'm going to have this. I'm walking in it. And I'm having it. Think about all these scriptures come to mind. What does Joshua 1:8 say? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and you will have good success. So how does one prosper and have good success? You don't let this word or what I believe or what I'm expecting, I don't let that depart out of my mouth. and I think about it and meditate on it and I speak it. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to just close in a few minutes here. Deuteronomy 28. This we're going to jump back in the Old Testament here. Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 1, just the first 6 verses. And it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken," I'm going to read the King James, "if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." So he's really saying you're going to be blessed all the way around, right? Blessed in your, you know, all of your material things, your health, your body, your everything, right? You're going to be blessed. But it's preceded by, we have to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to do what? Observe to do all his commandments, which he commanded them that day. So let's put this in the New Testament light. The voice of the Lord thy God is really today the word of God, because that is the voice of the Lord thy God. It is his word. So if we look at that in today's light, and when he says, hearken diligently to the word of God, is really what he's saying in today's covenant. Now, if you look up, this is interesting. When you look up this word hearken in the Hebrew, and anybody here, if you're interested, you can just look it up in online on Strong's Concordance online, and you can look at these Hebrew and or Greek words. This happens to be a Hebrew word. So you can look it up, and this is what it says. If thou shalt hearken, it says to hear intelligently, to be obedient, to declare, to tell, make or utter a sound, make a proclamation, publish or report. Oh, so it's not just hearing, it's decreeing. So he's saying here, if you will decree the word of God and obey it, you're going to be blessed in every area of your life. That's what Joshua 1:8 said. If you will not let this word depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night and observe to do it, you'll be blessed. He's saying the same thing here in Deuteronomy. He's saying if you will hearken diligently, and if you look up the word diligently, it is interesting. It means, this the word diligently in the Hebrew, it says vehemently. And it says by implication, completely, far, faster, and it says louder and louder. So it means that we're to do what? Say something and decree it. In other words, mutter it. And when you do, this is 2 Corinthians 4:13. We who believe must speak. So the principle's the same. It's just saying it a little different under the old covenant. But he told them to do what? Joshua, who marched around that desert for 40 years with all them unbelief. And he said, let's go in and take the land. Well, God had to wait until all that unbelief died off. What did you think Joshua was doing while they're marching around? He's imparting that into that younger generation. And they decided, we're going in and take the land. And they did. So, again, I just thought it was interesting that here in Deuteronomy and in Joshua 1:8, saying very similar things. You must say what you believe, not constantly talk about your problems or your mountain. Let's say it another way, because that's exactly what 10 of the 12 spies did when they went into the promised land. They came back and said, oh yes, it's a land filled with milk and honey. You know, the grapes are so big, we had to carry them back and all the vines. And they said, yeah, but the people are like giants and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And so what happened? That's what they were. So God, when he can get a faith in a people and they begin to see the impossible and they begin to believe the impossible, God will begin to do the impossible because it's not impossible. So when you begin to think, oh, this is possible, we can do that, just like Joshua did. For them, for 10 of them, and for a lot of them, they said, it's not possible. How are we going to do that? And Joshua said, we can do it. Let's go in. You know, it's interesting. Before I dozed off this morning, the Lord reminded me of a scripture, or the Holy Spirit did. And you're familiar, I'll close with this thought here. This is Jesus walking on the water. And it just was an interesting, going back and just reading it and meditating on it. And looking at Matthew 14 and verse 22, starting in verse 22. Starting in verse 22. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained, or you could say, I'm reading from the King James, he compelled them. He compelled them, his disciples, to get into the ship and to go before him under the other side. That should have been enough. He told us to go to the other side. The Son of God, the Master, the Christ, told us to go to the other side. And it said, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, verse 23, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Boy, that's a lot like life, isn't it? God said such about you, and now the life is contrary. Right? It's completely not what he says about me. Life is contrary. But he said this. He said, go to the other side. And he said, I went to the wrong chapter here. Let me go back here. Funny thing about this, your fingers do things that they're not supposed to. Anyways, there's little hidden buttons on your phone here. If you got to look, whoops, I hit the wrong button. Anyways, and he said, but now the ship, whoops, and now says, but the ship was now, verse 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Now, you remember this. He set aside his divine privileges. He's a sinless man, but he's a man anointed by the Holy Ghost, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And this was the part that I was looking at that the Lord reminded me. In verse 28, it says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come." That word bid means command me. He doesn't say, "Oh, if you'd like to come on out." He said, "If it's you, bid me come, command me to come." Oh. "Bid me come unto thee." And what did he say? He qualified it. He said, "Bid me come unto thee on the water." So Peter is decreeing what he's expecting to happen. He said, "If it's you, command me to come onto the water." And then what happened? And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he began to fear. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, if he walking on the water was little faith, what are we? I don't want to say you got no faith, but he said to Peter, "You walking on the water and sinking, that was little faith." So we got some work to do. Because we're looking at the noise, we're looking at the waves and the wind and all of this, and you begin to fear and you begin to sink. So we need to stand up and say, "No, no, Lord, you said that in your word, be it so unto me." And walk like that, think like that, talk like that. That his word, it is God who is at work in me, causing me to walk on the water. It's God in me, working both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, in this case, his good pleasure was Peter walking on the water. He said, "Lord, if that's you, then command me to come. Bid me," that means command me to come and walk on the water. Oh, yeah. But what did Peter do? Peter expected that when he got the command, he expected to walk on the water. He expected to, and he was, but he got in fear. So our faith needs to be spoken. That's really what we're saying today. Faith needs to be spoken. Faith needs to be voiced. Hallelujah. So our faith, I hope some of this is getting down on the inside of you, but our faith spoken produces results. It changes things. It's not faith and then don't say anything. It's faith spoken. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for we're thinking what you're thinking. We're speaking what we expect. We're believing for better and bigger things. We're walking in things that we expect. And the things that we expect are things not seen. And so, Father, we thank you for walking in double the wisdom, double the knowledge, double the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, double knowing you and hearing you. Double that, Lord, and we believe it, we decree it, we say it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, something that I remember, and we're going to continue and receive communion here, but something I remember Brother Hagin sharing when he began to see this in the Word of God, spending his time in the epistles, and he began to pray the Ephesians prayer in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. He began to pray that every day, and he inserted his name into it. And he said, after 6 months, he began to see things in the Word of God he had never seen before. He began to see, when he'd open his Bible up and read it, he'd go, wow, I've never seen that. And he'd say, what have I been sharing? What have I been teaching? He said, I'm beginning to see. And that is really what we're talking about here. That you will begin to see. You know, so often we say, God, help me. Show me how to do this in life. Show me how to do life. Show me how to make the right choice. When I have to make a decision, A or B, I'll know what to do. And it'll be your will. I'll know. Not maybe I think so, but I'll know. That's what we're talking about. And when you begin to say that, isn't that what Joshua 1:8 says? Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth. But what? Meditate in it day and night, observe to do it, and you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. That's what that means. Knowing how to make the right choices. That when you start going this way, you go, whoops, wrong way. That's not the right choice. Going this way. This is the right choice. You'll know. You'll just know. And people will be going like, well, what are you doing? Let me tell you. It's just like the guy that had that big tumor. He said, it's God working in me. My words are bringing to pass what I'm saying. So I'm saying, I'm walking in wisdom, double the knowledge. I'm saying it, and I'm having it. Oh, yes. No more low living, no more coming up short where your family is concerned. You begin to speak. Not just for you. Think about what that prayer in Ephesians. Paul wasn't praying for himself. He was praying for a group of people that were under his tutelage, under his responsibility. Well, don't you have children in your home? You have children or friends? Insert their name in there. You say, so-and-so is walking in the wisdom of God. So-and-so. And then they just like, man, it's like, wow. So you're praying that prayer for people that you care about. Could be a spouse. Could be a friend. Could be your enemy. Then they don't become your enemy anymore. Right? Praise God. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, that we're walking in the wisdom of God. We're walking in double the wisdom of God. We're walking in it. We're seeing and we're knowing. And we're seeing you, Holy Spirit. You live in us. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And so just before we receive communion and dismiss, if you happen to be here and you never asked Jesus to come into your heart, or if you're watching online and you haven't done that, again, this is an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. It's an opportunity to confess him or confess what you believe. You may believe, you know, the scripture says the devils believe and are damned. But they're never going to confess Jesus, but they sure believe he is the Christ. So you, and then we have a lot of people in society that believe Jesus is the Christ, but they're not going to confess him. So they will be damned. Because the way into heaven is you have to believe and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. God set it up that way. And those that believe, and then it says confess him, and then it says you do what? You believe that he was raised from the dead. And it says you'll be saved. So Father, today we believe that Jesus is the Christ, and we confess him with our mouth. We ask him to come into our hearts and lives to change us supernaturally. And we believe that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is raising us supernaturally, changing our spirit and imparting eternal life into our hearts. We thank you for that. We thank you that you've cleansed us with the blood of Jesus. And we decree with our mouths that we're saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer and you believed that and confessed it with your mouth, then let us know today. Indicate to someone that you did that, and we'll give you some free information. And if you happen to be watching online, get in touch with us with that information. And we will send you some information as to who you have become in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God.